possibly not everybody got the 35%, but all full faculty and all associate, and you know, some of the poor old adjuncts might have not done, but they didn't carry that out into the other units. The regents people got lazy. In fact, I'm looking to go back to war with them this year. In fact, that's the letter I was. I'll show you the letter.
Okay.
That I was talking to her about.
You're ready for another fight.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not bargaining.
They're just not doing, paying attention to it. They're ignoring it.
Virtually.
Yeah.
And they're letting it all there. And then you got to bargain after the fact. I mean, in this state, you can have a say in bargaining if you bargain before the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, where I figured it out.
You figured something out. You got it going. When AFT started really shifting into education reform,
mm-hmm.
How did that help you with Montana? I mean, you're already organizing. You have a great legislative, you know, laws set up for you. So the organizing is a labor state, technically.
By then, we're at the merger. And
I'm talking about the early 80s, mid-80s, when Shanker gave his speech for professionalism. A Nation at Risk comes out. Everybody says Johnny can't read.
It helped us more from a business. And by the way, he was out here. We created a group called the Montanans for a Positive Future. And he came and spoke to the Chamber of Commerce and
was that a mix of legislators and businessmen?
Legislators, business people. Now, I guess I'd have to say, from my vantage point, it was more economic development and more using Shanker that we're not afraid to change with the times and come in here, Shanker, and you'll see that. And when we created this Montanans for a Positive Future, again, the faculty probably benefited more out of that than the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
But now this was before the merger, and we invited Eric to be part of that. You know, and when we had some of our efforts around Rally Montana, that's when we were trying to build public employees, we invited Eric to be part of that. But these are just a little bit before the merger. You know.
These are the steps of building education reform, changing things
right.
On a professional level.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think I personally was heavy into education reform.
Yeah.
Like Shanker was doing it in the East. It was more that we should coalesce with business and that the school should help what business wants. And that probably helps me what I'm doing right now in terms of trying to get the building trades in the colleges of technology and everybody to moving in the same direction on economic development and how, you know, we should train for the needs of the future and make sure these are union jobs at the same time.
So
this is a really big deal here right now with Schweitzer as governor and people that want to do it. And And we got a bonehead of a commissioner of a higher education, but we got, like at the University of Montana, a good president and other people there that understand it. And
right.
So I hold up high hope. So probably, you know, things like that I had observation that I had interaction with. Over the years, all of that added up and helps me now more than I can explain or articulate.
You were building up these coalitions. You were building up working across not only the aisle, but with business and to develop not only for the schools, but also vocational education.
And so I'm learning all that from Shanker and the meetings, but from McElroy with our friendship and...
Mm-hmm. So, what developed out of these meetings and something? Is there a stronger vocational ed in Montana for retraining?
No, we're in the process of doing that now.
Okay.
I think they're a bit aimlessly right now, or a bit. They need more union involvement in terms of working, and they need more. Everybody's dream is to bring in a new industry. Well, we got industries that that would probably spend, like, say, Stone Container. They make paper. They have super highly technical people that they can't replace. Now, they're not, and they're worried they're going to lose wood, but they can use this burnt wood and make, change their process a little bit, and mm-hmm. And use this burnt wood. Okay, so that's a political thing that we have to show up and help from the union point of view. But we need to figure out a way to use the colleges of technology or to get training programs to help them train these highly technical people so that they can get them. So it's not a question of building a new industry. Is they're liable to put a lot of money into the current industry because they can make money. But they need training for these people,
right.
and they'll be union people.
Exactly, that's the other tail end of it. Exactly. Also in the 80s, we're still in the 80s here for me.
Huh?
We're still in the 80s here for me. You became president of MFT when? 86?
Let's see. If I got that somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know. It's.
Sorry about that.
We're going to have to let me take a whiz and.
Okay. Okay. Elected MFT president in 86. What was your first. What did you see needed to be changed for MFT to grow?
Well, I don't know if there was any abrupt changes there. I mean, I, as the executive secretary or executive director, I told you I didn't chair meetings. I had a lot of input into direction. And obviously we're still organizing. We're probably moving heavily into public employees then. That would have been when we were, and that was probably when we were doing a lot of raiding.
You were raiding the Independent and AFSCME? Mm-hmm. Was AFSCME here?
No, but we wouldn't have been raiding AFSCME other than AFSCME at the time was trying to help the Independent, so we would have been at odds with them then.
Okay.
But then that's when they would try to negotiate a deal with the legislature, and so, it was pretty open warfare that, we were all coming to the legislature with a different bill for state employee pay. It was nasty.
That's nasty. That is just nasty.
Nasty. And quite frankly, it would have been during that period of time that we would have formed a no-rate agreement with the Montana Public Employees Association sometime in the 80s, because I would say by the time we went to merger, that agreement was around for 15 mm-hmm. years, easy. Easy.
Yeah.
So do you have that?
The merger agreement?
No, the MPEA agreement, the no-rate agreement with MPEA.
No.
And it's not in any of those files I left you there.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. I should give you that. Ooh.